Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Then he'll look at me and say, well done. Welcome home, my faithful child. And as I stand before his throne, the trials I have known, they will all be worthwhile.
What a remarkable arrangement by the late Larry Goss, sung by Friends Four, telling us that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And when you look around and you read the world news and see what's going on in the Middle East, you can't help but wonder just how long do we have? We need to be ready. The Bible doesn't tell us when he will come, but he did tell us in his word to be ye therefore ready, for thou knowest not when the Son of Man shall come. Beautiful song. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to continue the message, Authentic Christianity Preached in a Revival Meeting in the month of October, and I hope that you will be challenged by it. Also wish that you would pray for me as I am in revival services this second weekend of the month of November, Oak Hill, West Virginia, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then November the 19th, Bell Fountain, Ohio, Church of God there. It's a standing invitation every year, and we look forward to going to this wonderful church. And then November 26th to 29th, Lebanon, Tennessee, the Church of the Nazarene. So do cover your prayers, and we do need your support. We need your help so we can stay on your radio station. As I've often said, and just in case someone's listening that's never heard the program before, this is a listener-supported radio ministry. It has been ever since 1937 when my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, began the program on a radio station in High Point, North Carolina. It's been my privilege to continue producing the program since Dad's home going in the year 2000. So would you pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance? You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lohmanministries.org. You can give through Venmo or PayPal there. Hope you'll think about that, pray about it. Speaking of praying, why don't we pray together right now? Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to bring the program to our listening audience. It's been a blessing of mine to be able to share messages from revival meetings and messages that my father preached when he was at his best. And I want to thank you for those who continue to listen, that ask for Dad's sermons, and that encourage us with words about the messages that are brought on this radio program. Bless them today. Bless everyone listening to my voice. Those that are sick and shut in, would you touch them, I pray. I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to us. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
In and out of situations that tug a war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into his presence, and all my questions become clear. And for a sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. In the God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence. created a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in hours of distress. So there is never any reason to give up in despair. Just look away and breathe His name. He will come and meet you there. In the presence of Jehovah, God.
Then when I come to spiritual matters, I am discovering, at the risk of sounding a bit judgmental tonight, that there are people who walk in the doors of the church every Sunday who believe they can accept part of the Bible. They can just select that part. I like that part. I think I'll apply that part to my life. I like that part. And they say, I want to do that. I believe in that. I call it selective Christianity. But He said to them all, there's only one standard. He not only said to them all, but notice, Jesus' standard is intentional. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple. When you read that part of the verse, free will is implied. A person doesn't become a Christian because they've been in church all of their life. A person didn't become a Christian. I'm not a Christian tonight because J. Harold Lowen was my dad and Elizabeth Lowen was a prayer warrior. I didn't just bump into them and get Christian all of a sudden all over me. It doesn't happen that way. You see, it's intentional. A person becomes born again because in their mind at some point in time, prevenient grace was at work and conviction came upon their lives. They recognized their lost condition and by act of their will, they responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit and they gave their heart and life to Jesus, asking Him to forgive them of their sins. It's intentional. Whoever wants an authentic Christian desires, wants, beyond anything else, to serve Jesus. Whoever wants, the question people want to go to heaven. I mean, who here tonight doesn't want to go to heaven? We all want to go to heaven. No question we want the blessings of God in our lives. Of course we do. They're there for us as we serve the Lord. No question we enjoy the promises of God. We want to apply them to our lives when we go through the hard places in life. And if we are truly His disciple, the greatest desire that should dominate our lives is to acknowledge Jesus as Lord of all, to know His words and to possess His mind, to pursue knowledge of Him and His will with a passion. And when we do that, it's noticeable. People see it. Jesus cannot, will not be less than who he is. And you would agree with me tonight when I say that he is Lord. And he will not be less than Lord in your life and mine. Jesus' standard, not only does the previous, it's intentional, it's inclusive, it denies self. If you're going to come after me, you will deny yourself. They must deny themselves. Well, I like the part about forgiveness. Oh, I like that part. I like the part about getting rid of my guilt. I like that. Who likes to be guilty? Oh, let's get rid of the guilt. I like that part. And I like the part about going to heaven. I like that part as well. But I don't know about that part in Romans chapter 6 that asks the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Because I sin every day. You do? Then what does Romans 6:1 mean? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer than? What does that mean? It means we deny ourselves. C.S. Lewis, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia, hear his observation about what I'm trying to convey to you tonight. He sums up the expectation of Jesus like this. Lewis says, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time, so much of your money, so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and there. I want to have the whole tree down. Hand over the whole natural self. All the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones you think wicked, the whole outfit, and I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own shall become yours. Can I declare to you tonight that I have come to the conclusion that self-sovereignty is one of, if not the greatest enemies of genuine, authentic Christianity. Jesus' standard is consistency. He said, take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Dr. Leonard Sweet, a well-known teacher at Drew Seminary in New Jersey, he made this statement in one of his books. He said, what we need around the church is more teaching on fellowship. Fellowship. Let's shadow Jesus. See where he went. Let's see how Jesus operated. What was most on his mind? What did he get up every morning thinking about? What drove him? I'll tell you what it was. Doing his Father's will. Everything about him teaches us that. Doing his Father's will. His commitment was to do his will, not to perform miracles, not to walk on water, not to raise the dead. His commitment was to do the Father's will. And I've come to this conclusion tonight, folks. I believe that following Jesus, being an authentic disciple of his, has something to do with commitment. Now, I know we've heard that all of our lives around the church. Well, we need more commitment around the church. You need to be more committed. Now, I know we've said that. I've said it. Can't count the times I've said it. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight, because I know that we're all committed. As a matter of fact, I can prove that. You're committed to your family. Aren't you? Of course you are. You're committed to your job. I mean, you couldn't pay your bills if you wasn't committed to your job. You're committed to your loved ones. You're committed to your grandchildren. You're committed to your sports teams. We're committed to our recreational activities. We're even committed to sinful behavior. We're committed to ourselves. And yes, some are even committed to the church. See, our problem is not committed, not a lack of commitment. It's too much commitment. It's too much commitment. We're committed to too many things. And we need to narrow it down and see the life of Jesus. And he said, I must do the will of my Father. And that must be the resolve of us. I must do the will of Jesus Christ. Do the things to which we are committed tonight. And you're the only one who can answer this question for yourself. Do the things to which we are committed tonight reflect the reality of Christ's influence in our lives? Are our lives filtered through the person of Jesus? The call to all. But then there's the cost for all. Again, the passage in question. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Been reading a book lately by David Platt. It's called Follow Me, Call to Live, Call to Die. That's the title of the book. First chapter, the title of the first chapter got my attention right away. The title of the first chapter of the book, Unconverted Believers. Unconverted believers. And this is what he said, and I quote, churches are filled with supposed professed Christians who seem to have a casual association with Christ while giving nominal adherence to Christianity. Scores of men and women, children, have been told that becoming a follower of Jesus simply involves acknowledging certain facts or saying certain words. But this is not true. Disciples like Peter, Andrew, James, and John show us that the call to follow Jesus is not simply an invitation to mouth a few words in a prayer. It's a summons to lose our lives for Him. Pastor friend and member of my ministry board told the story. He was pastoring in the state of Florida. A young couple in his congregation were wanting to be foster parents. And they asked their pastor, my friend and board member, would you go with us? We're going to be interviewed by social services. He said, I went with them down to the building where they would have the interview. And he said, once we arrived there, the social services counselor seated in front of the young couple, he said, I was seated over to the side. The counselor was seated in front of the young couple. And this is the first thing that that counselor said to the young couple, said, compile a well thought out list of the 5 most important things in your life. Then the counselor said, do you have the list in mind? What's on it? Surely God, perhaps your family, your health, they're all on the list of 5 most important things in your life. Then the counselor said, now cross off 1 of the 5. Cross off 1 of the 5 items. It will suddenly be gone out of your life. What do you cross off? What will you no longer have in your life that you will live without? The couple wrestled with the unthinkable, narrowing down their lives to 5 most important things. Now they've been asked to cross off 1 of the 5. Then the demand came again. Cross off another one. Now what can you live without? You only have 3. What are the 3 most important things in your life? The couple wrestled through the exercise, thinking seriously about each challenging step. And then to make the tragic point, that counselor said to that young couple, this is what happens when a child is suddenly removed from their home. No matter how bad that home was, everything that is important to that child is suddenly taken from that child. The example made the point. drove home the value of the nature of love and care that was expected of that young couple if they moved into the foster parent program. Let's rehearse this spiritually. What are the most important things in your life? Five most important things in your life. Now mark one off. Mark off another one. Another one. Until there's only one. What can you dare not think about living without? Tell you what my answer would be. As much as I love my wife and our children and our grandchildren, the thing that I don't want to live without is the presence of God.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.